Is your business struggling? Do you need a custom business plan to get ahead? All you need to do is ask Sharifa, the premier business consultant who is focused on your success. From digital marketing to business planning, I bring over 25 years of experience to work for you. As a host of three different talk shows, I can get you connected to your audience right away. Visit AskSharifa.com for more information. Do not face the unknown alone. Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I have an amazing, an incredible, a wonderful show for you today. I'm always excited to meet new people and some guests who have been here before. But before I go ahead and introduce our guests, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. I'm sure you have a huge network. You have friends. Someone wants to start their own business, or someone is in business. They're trying to figure it out. Don't make them figure it out alone. Have them join us. Tell someone the Roundtable Talk Show is live, because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're sharing the show, I'm going to go ahead and introduce my first guest. And this gentleman has joined us on the show several times. And I must admit, don't tell everyone, but I play favorites. And he is one of my favorite guests on the show because he's someone who has the experience, he has the knowledge, and he always brings us so much information. Mr. Jim Esteele. Jim is currently president and CEO of both Danby Appliances and ShipperBee, a new venture that is revamping outdated shipping channels into a system that is better for consumers, retailers, and the environment. Jim is a Canadian technology entrepreneur, executive, and philanthropist. He started his first computer distribution business from the trunk of his car while in university and grew that business to $2 billion in sales. That was $2 billion with a B. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Excellent. How are you, Sharifa? Now, how come you always say to everybody that they're your favorite guest?
Jim, don't do that. Don't tell the people. You know what I mean? I got to get the ratings up and make people feel good that you are one of my favorites. And you know how you can tell you're one of my favorites? Because you are one of the few people that I share their post on LinkedIn. Check my history. Check the receipts.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that, Sharifa.
You know it's true, Jim. You know that's true.
I do. Okay, great. Enough of the self-adulation. So.
Tell us about you. You know what? I want to talk about ShipperBee today. Can we do that? Because we always talk about Danby Appliances, unless, you know, there's something specific you want to share.
So we can definitely talk about ShipperBee. On the appliance side, I think your listeners and viewers would be interested in, we have come up with a minus 80 freezer.
Yes, I want to hear about that.
Need minus 80 freezing, and we make freezers. So it's logical that we would do that. And so I can educate everybody on what they need to know about vaccines, because I'm sure that's top of mind for everybody. But yes, certainly I can talk about ShipperBee. It's work.
No. I didn't ruin your whole introduction the way you wanted to do it. But let's go back to vaccines. How do we get vaccines out of appliances?
Well, the Pfizer vaccine needs to be stored at minus 80 degrees Celsius. That is cold. Your home freezer is at most minus 20 degrees at most. And vaccines need constant temperature. So you can take it out of minus 80 and put it in a minus 20 for up to 5 days, but there's a shortage of these minus 80 freezers. And so we are making those. And there's also a demand for the minus 20 freezers, but most home freezers are frost free, which means they can't be used for virus or for vaccines, because to make a freezer frost free, the temperature goes up and down, it fluctuates. So you can't have that fluctuation in a freezer. Now, I know most of your listeners are just home users, but I thought, you know, this is pretty topical. People want to get vaccinated, so they need to have these freezers. And it's not just us that make them. There are other companies that make them, but for us, it's a new product.
Interesting. So, because you know by now I'm confused. That's why I ask a lot of questions, because it makes it seem, and I don't want to be confused nor the audience to be confused, that we're going to be having these vaccines in our refrigerators.
No, but
Okay, I'm
this
about to
is
say.
needed in the supply chain to get it to the clinic or the hospital. It needs to be stored in that when it's in the hospital. So it's all about the supply chain and getting it from the manufacturer to you. You're going to go to a clinic and you're going to get it, but just do the math and figure out how many places this needs, and how valuable the vaccine is. It's not only the price. Can you imagine if a load of 1,000 or 10,000 vaccines got non-usable? We need every dose that we can get right now. In the medium term, we'll solve it, but short term, vaccine's gold.
I like that. So basically, I can go into the clinic and then I can see where the vaccines are being held, and I can be like, is that a Danby appliance? That's not a Danby appliance. I don't know if I can get this vaccine.
That's exactly what you do. You say, sorry, no, I'll take my chances with COVID. If it's not a Danby freezer, I'm not interested.
See, I told you, you're one of my favorites, Jim. I'm honest with people. I love when you're on the show. I'm going to come back to you, Jim. I want to go ahead and introduce my next guest, Mr. David Adams. David is a business owner and technology professional running a digital agency serving legal and real estate practices. At CyrusDigital.com, our goal is to better connect and strengthen relationships between professionals and the audiences they serve. When not connected, people and ideas. David is wearing a husband, dad to two sons, or scouting leader to many other youth. He's just recently been practicing yoga. Shout out to at DDP Yoga as an added compliment to a blessed life. Good morning, David. You also have cool hair. I wanted to go ahead and just kind of throw that in there.
Well, I appreciate that. Maybe it's the benefit of the two sons. I'm not going to blame the wife as a husband. This is probably the two sons, I'm sure. No, this started when I was like 25 years old. I had this when I was 30.
Wow.
But listen, I appreciate you letting me jump on the show today, Sharifa. As I said, I'm with Sirius Digital, and I'm really looking forward to talking to folks. Interestingly enough, when I saw the reference to actually be a guest on the show and in some of the topics, I was really excited about it. Digital marketing, I enjoy. It's kind of been a hobby and a passion I've had for the last 4 or 5 years. Just started the company this year that's dealing with it with specific clients, but I'm really excited about it. And interesting when I saw the show, what I is some of the topics that you did, and I got a chance to kind of look at some of the back shows that you'd done before. It was going to be interesting from the fact of the timing that we're doing it from the perspective of that, advertising was really big up into the election. I still live in Georgia, so our election's not over yet. We're still going on into January. But from the perspective of how that might relate to folks that even are in Canada or maybe yourself out in California or some of the other areas that some of the guests on, I think this is going to be a great discussion. I'm looking forward to it. For the folks that do watch the show today, I went ahead and hooked up off my website, HTTPS www.seriousdigital.com. If they'll just do backslash Sharifa, I've got a PDF that I'll definitely give to anybody that's checking out the show today. But and like I said, social media engagement, some ideas around doing that. If they've got that from a business perspective, a lot of what I deal with are either attorneys or real estate agents, but I think some of the ideas will definitely be beneficial to them as well.
Is there a picture of Sharifa up there?
No, but I'd be happy to put one up there. Just send me the link. I'll be glad to put one up there.
I'm just giving you a hard time. You know, I got to do that shameless self-promotion. They go, who is Sharifa? Like, there she is. David, what got you into digital marketing? Why are you so passionate about it?
I just had an interest in it. Like I said, from my perspective, I've always been interested in starting businesses and stuff like that, just from my past. And as the topics come up, I have a technology background. I started back from the Y2K years, right? Of the previous terrible thing that was horrible going to be bad to us back in the year 2000. And I got into technology, did programming, led teams. And as I did that, I had some different interests as far as outside of just specifically building applications or building software into more of the digital marketing techniques and whatnot. So it was sort of a natural progression for me to kind of step into that and learn more about it from that aspect as well.
Do you feel, and this is one of the things, one of the reasons why I love marketing, and a lot of people don't know this, but I actually went to college to be an accountant, right? And then I was like, oh my God, I cannot do this. I can't sit and companies all day in a little cubicle. So I enjoy marketing. I love the creativity of it. And one of the things that we've seen this year, especially, is creativity in our marketing. With your clients, have you seen more ideas being generated? And, you know, because everybody has to pivot. What have you seen?
The biggest thing that I've seen is how people are trying to communicate with folks. In a lot of cases, a lot of the folks that I've dealt with and clients especially, they had the retraction idea, right? It was all of a sudden, I'm just going to kind of pull back into exactly what I know. And from my perspective, a lot of companies really struggle trying to do that, because it was... They weren't pivoting into anything different. It was just like what they were doing wasn't working. Mm-hmm. So we just got rid of it. And like I said, but I do feel that today, and as we sort of progressed in it, people have seen more. They're largely opening up to some different ideas. And I think some of the biggest challenges that folks are having today is definitely picking an idea that they want to work with and focusing on it for some period of time to actually get it in space and get it moving, as opposed to the other flip side to it, where everybody sort of got into this shiny object syndrome mode where they're just trying a little bit of everything and really never allowed themselves to get any kind of depth where they were working. So like I said, I think the biggest challenges that business has had is either they retracted back and kind of didn't know what to do, or they just kind of sort of took this world of, I'm going to try everything for 3 or 4 months and largely spent a lot of their time and effort and energy on a lot of things that really didn't get them a lot of the results they wanted.
We're going to talk about that, David. I'm going to go ahead and introduce my next guest, and then I will be back to you. I want to introduce Mr. Jeffrey Hazlett. Jeffrey's insightful wisdom, bold sense of humor, and profound experience would make for an excellent segment, as he is always looking to find like-minded individuals to discuss business, social issues, politics, and more. He loves to talk about important issues and learn from other keynote speakers by getting their point of view. Good morning, Jeffrey. How are you?
Good morning and good to be here. Thanks for having me with this very illustrious panel.
Yes, but in your bio, it said you had a bold sense of humor. So we're going to see bold today, right?
We're always going to see bold. You know, I've bought and sold over 250 businesses in my career, about $25 billion in transaction. I'm a former Fortune 100 officer. I'm a former chief of staff of the United States Senate and the House, so know all about politics. And then you sit there and look at it, you know, as I've said, I bought and sold over 250 businesses in my career, and now represent the C-suite network. But I've also, been a host on my own television show on Bloomberg. And to make this interesting and more dicey, I used to be a judge on Celebrity Apprentice for 3 years with our now president Trump. So there you go. We're going to have some fun today. So saddle up. Let's go, Sharif. Let's go.
Where's your phone, Jeff?
Right. My phone's right here. Right here.
It should be ringing pretty soon. That's me. I'm calling you. I'm like, we got to talk. We got to talk.
So, yeah. And you didn't know probably all the background, but I ran U.S. Senate campaigns in the 90s for then what was then Majority Leader Tom Daschle. So I was very active in politics for many, many years. And of course, I've lived all over the world as chief marketing officer of Kodak. My last company was about $187 billion in total sales. I managed, at that time I was chief marketing officer, managed a budget of about $17 billion just in marketing and ad spend. So when we start getting into digital marketing and digital advertising and product development and everything else, I serve on about 14 corporate boards today. Three of them are public, and I do this every day. This is fun. And I lead the C-suite network, which has, 250 plus podcast shows, the fastest growing business network in the world for podcast, and then also C-suite TV.
I'm impressed. Like, I didn't run out of questions. I'm so impressed. What can so Jim ask a question like that? I'm off.
We'll have fun. We'll get into it. It'd be great.
It is great. Why politics? I mean, you seem like this marketing guy, a lot of experience, but why politics? Why help with politics?
Well, everybody needs to, pick a side and do something. I think that's the most important thing. I mean, you know, listen, I think Trump, I don't know if you could swear on your show or not, but
yes, we can.
Okay, good. Because I get red marks. I get bleeped on my own show on Bloomberg. But the listen, he's batshit crazy, and without question, I think we'd say that. But there's been one good thing that he's done for this country, and that is he's forced people to pick a side. For so long in this country, quite frankly, we've let things go. We've let the politicians continue to do what they want to do the way they wanted to do it. And we just said, there's nothing we can do about it. Well, finally, somebody put a stake in the ground and he made you pick sides. That's been a good thing for this country. Now, a lot of, and we're going to go through some turmoil as part of it, but in the end, we're going to end up better because it's going to be more about diversity. It's going to be more about inclusion. It's going to be more about being real human beings in this country and doing the things we need to do because we can't keep going like we've been doing. So politics are important for everybody and you have to have a say in it and you should be participating. I've been involved in politics since I was a young lad. From the first time I was in Georgia, in Warner Robins, Georgia, David, and my dad was in the military. Where are you from, by the way?
I'm from Incoming, in north of Atlanta.
I know where Cumming's at. My brother lives over in Snellville and Lawrenceville, so I know. Absolutely. And I got a home up in Hiawassee. So anyway, back when I was 10 years old, I was at the mall in Warner Robins, Georgia. And there was somebody running for Congress and they had one of those straw hats. Remember those old straw hats, you know, with the little banners across of them. And I wanted one of those. And they said, young man, the only way you can do that is to hand out all these flyers. And they gave me a big stack of flyers. And I went around and I don't even know who the guy was. Probably a Republican, probably scare the hell out of me right now. But nonetheless, I handed all those out and I got that free hat. I thought that was pretty cool. So from then on, I was hooked on politics.
I got a hat for you. You want to wear the Sharifa Hardy for Senate 2022 hat? I got it for you.
Just well, you're right now. You know, when you think about it, you talk about Jim was talking about helping people out with a vaccine, which thank goodness for great companies like Pfizer's and so many others that are doing what they're doing, along with other first responders, because they're all first responders. All of us have to be first responders right now, not only on the health side but on business. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nurse. I can't even sew a freaking mask, but I can help people with business and I can be a business first responder. But you're in Long Beach right now. Long Beach is the epicenter for PPE. Every single PPE product that's being distributed around this country is being brought into Long Beach. And so
yes, sir.
Every one of those warehouses is full of masks and gloves and other products that need to get out there. So hats off to you too.
Well, thank you, Jeff. I am going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce my next guest, but we're going to continue this conversation. I would love to go ahead and introduce our lovely lady of the show, Miss Tali. Tali is the founder and CEO of Blink, a new dating app challenging online dating norms, which was inspired by a revolutionary experience at a blackout restaurant where Tali befriended fellow diners and felt the power of connecting with others, free of looks-driven assumptions. Good morning, Tali. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Wow. Explain that to me. How do you meet someone without looks?
Yeah, it's not something that you ever really think about consciously, how many assumptions you make based on that first glance that you have at someone. But doing it for the first time in the dark was incredible. The level of vulnerability people were willing to have, the amount that they were willing to share, knowing that they were kind of protected by this darkness. It's not something that you really think about. And then afterwards, coming out of the restaurant and seeing these people that I had, such a deep and quick connection with, and realizing they were nothing like what I imagined in my head, and realizing that I would have made all these assumptions about them based on their clothes or their hair or, all sorts of other things. It was just kind of a moment of kind of realization that we go through life making these assumptions, and how amazing and beautiful would it be if we could try to get past those assumptions. And that can be applied in really all sorts of contexts, and dating is the one that we're tackling. And so, really excited to be on this journey.
Walk me through that. You're in a room. The lights are off, masks are on. How are we in the dark?
No masks. It was actually at a center for the deaf and blind. And so it was a nonprofit. Part of the concept was also to kind of expose people to this experience of being, visually or I'm trying to think of the word for hearing impaired. And so it's just a structure that they built where no light gets in. And you would think that after a while your eyes would adjust, and they don't. And so the waiters and the staff are all deaf or blind, and they actually lead you in. You hold their hands and they lead you over to your table, and they tell you kind of a little bit about how to get through the dinner. And so they explain, you know, you might wonder, how do you drink out of a glass of water when you don't know where the glass is or how much water is in it? And so they tell you, you know, your glass is on your right and you can feel for it. And, you know, one way that we use to kind of determine how much water is in the cup is you kind of use your finger a little bit and you kind of learn, you know, I have to detect how much weight am I picking up when I pick up the cup. Or you never really think about it when you're eating, but you don't wonder, does my fork have something on it? You just can see that your fork has something on it. And so the whole experience was this kind of eye-opening moment of how many things we take for granted with sight and how many things we assume based on sight. And so, yeah, the whole thing was really beautiful. And if I could recommend it, I would. I don't know how many blackout restaurants there are. This was in Israel, but it's a really special experience. And I think there are some restaurants in the States that do it with a blindfold, which I think is just a little bit different. But this was no blindfold. It was just a building that they really outfitted for this purpose.
Okay. So just like earlier with Jim, I get confused very easily. So I want to make sure I understand you correctly. So yeah. Not only can I not see anything, but I'm trying to hold a conversation with a new man, trying to figure out if we're compatible all simultaneously.
Well, so are you talking about the experience I went through or the experience?
The dating experience.
So the dating experience will actually be via an app. The concept was originally born for live blind dates, literal blind dates. But with COVID, we pivoted a little bit and are now doing an app-based version. And so it's a two-part process. Folks will have a virtual blind date via the app, which is kind of like a phone call. And then separate and apart, since we know love is not blind and we are not trying to make people fall in love with someone that they're just not attracted to, there is a component that we call a glance. But the photo that you see, it's not like a typical dating app. It's a single photo. You don't see a name. You don't see a profile. It's just one photo to say, like, would I be interested in this person or not? And if you match based on your conversation, which is really that important part, that chemistry that you have during a conversation and that glance, then you have a connection and continue the conversation online until you're ready to go offline, which we obviously encourage, but whenever you feel ready.
I got to think that one through. Because, I mean, I'm not vain, but you know what I mean? I can't.
I'm not blind. I'm not going to pretend to this. I acknowledge that.
Because I might be like, send him back. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's like Russian roulette.
The thing that we're really going for is trying to get past that looks based, that first look kind of based assumption. Because a lot of dating apps you see now, the first thing you're judging people on are those photos that you see. And, you know, people aren't always what they look like in their photos, either because they're photos from years ago, they're just not representative of what they look like, they're cherry picking them. And so wouldn't it be great if we could get to know someone before we're making those assumptions? And so again, we try to take the looks into account, but we're really trying to see, is there a real connection between people? Because in all likelihood, we're ruling out people who would be really great matches, people we'd be really compatible with, just because we don't like three or four photos of them, which is a little bit crazy.
I'm not gonna comment on that because I like a lot of photos, you know. But I have to. I'm also working on my depth. You know what I mean? I'm working on being a better me.
More important, yes.
So let's just see. I gotta imagine, Sharifa, you're doing a lot of swiping left, a lot of swiping.
Yes, right. Yes. Like,
no way. Ain't gonna happen. There they go.
Yes. You know me well. Look,
it's like we were talking to Jim earlier before we got on air. He's wearing a toque. He's wearing a stocking cap. Boom. He's
yes.
Out. He's out.
Yes, but I would swipe right. He's just
your
because
favorite. You would have ruled him out just because of a hat?
Yes, I would have, but I'd have kept Jeff just because of the suit. I was
yeah,
like,
there you go. I dressed up for this. I'm even wearing pants today. I just want you to know that. So that's a swipe right there. He's wearing
yeah. Pants. That's what I said. David has that cool hair. I'd be like, let me talk to him. That hair works for me.
I got to ask Tally. Can I ask a question? I'm just jumping in. You put the quarter in. You get to go for the full ride. Let's have some fun. You know, I'm actually somewhat because of the TV that I do, and I'm very public in my life, million followers, those kinds of things. And I've actually had my profile stolen, my picture stolen.
Oh, wow. Yes.
And now I'm on dating apps all over the world. I guess I'm a trending on Grindr right now, but you know, which is interesting. But I'm married, been married for 40 years, but I have all these people. And I recently did a BBC segment where a woman was actually cheated out of like $500,000 using my photos, where she fell in love with what she thought was me and gave money to someone. So I, you know, I appreciate you saying, hey, until they're ready. I think that's wonderful that you're, you know, trying to help people, educate them that have to be very careful with these. These are very sophisticated people who are taking advantage of people who just want love in their life. And it's a really tough thing.
And, you know, the internet makes it really hard to get rid of people who are going to catfish you and cheat you. But there is an element of additional labor and having a virtual blind speed date via a phone call. It's got to be a real human that you're talking to, unless somebody's created a really, really fancy robot. And the photo component, you know, I think a lot of dating apps are really combating this. And there are all sorts of ways that they're trying to kind of add a verification element. You know, one of the first things that we're hoping to do is add selfie verification where, you know, we do have that one photo. And so now you have to take a live selfie and we can match and make sure that those are the same. And so all sorts of mechanisms to try to combat it. And also, you know, there are a lot of small companies now that are doing like you can add like a health badge to show that you've been tested for XYZ. It doesn't tell you what the results are, but, it, you know, then you know that this other company has actually checked your ID and your medical records and they can, you know, vouch for the fact that you're COVID negative or what have you based on your, you know, most recent.
Or STDs or whatever. It's or STDs too, right? Yeah. I'm sure it's part
and
of that.
So adding kind of an integration that services world. That information, while you don't actually, again, see the results of that information in a dating app, you're able to know that you're talking to a real human and that they've been verified in various ways. And so that's definitely something we're cognizant of and trying to add that extra layer of protection for people.
That is powerful, Tali. I am going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Mr. Jose Victor Castellanos. Jose is the founder and president of Recon Media, Inc., a digital marketing agency that specializes in paid advertising, Google ads, YouTube ads, Facebook, Instagram ads. His passion is helping businesses by getting them online and growing their business using digital marketing. I guess we're going to be discussing digital marketing today. Good morning, Jose. How are you?
Good. Thank you for having me. Good morning. My company is Recon Media, Inc., and I've actually been doing digital marketing now about 10 years, actually. So I've been doing this quite a little while. But as an agency, we focus in on paid advertising for our clients, which are mostly local businesses. And the reason for that is that we focus on ROI. So we're very focused on return on investment to make sure that our clients are not just investing in marketing, but they're all actually getting a return on their marketing dollars. A lot of businesses spend money on advertising and marketing, on SEO and social media management and other things that aren't technically ROI focused. And as an agency, we've noticed over the years that our clients, local business owners, are focused on a return, right? They're looking on getting that next client. They're not looking on building a huge brand because they're small, they're local, they're trying to just build their presence, but they also need to get those clients immediately coming in. So that's why we focus on those areas.
Okay, so Jose, we're going to need your help today. We're going to need you to dig deep, right? Because we have to help the world be a better place. We need people to put their looks aside, right? And go to the heart, to the emotions. How are we going to get Tali out there?
Tell me. So a big thing right now is, you know, obviously social media and, you know, just connecting with people. So a big thing that we try to also focus with our clients is it's not about just, you know, trying to tell people, hey, come and, you know, sign up for our app. We're the best dating app in the world. But it's about educating people about why we're different, what sets us apart, why the competition, what our mission is, right? Like for Tali, that's very much, you know, about the mission and why behind it is something that you'd really want to share. So a lot of it's, you know, storytelling is very popular. You know, making sure that you tell exactly who you are, what you do, and why you do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is awesome. We got a mission, Jose. You with me? This is the mission.
Yeah, I'm right here.
You choose to accept it.
You mind if I jump in here right quick?
Go ahead, David. Go ahead, David.
Absolutely. And I want to definitely build on something Jose shared because we started it out there. The experience that Tali was actually was describing. I can definitely see, and Jose was jumping into it, that there's going to be some definite opportunities from the perspective of the experience that this app is going to give, but both from the perspective of finding the match as well as a feeling of security while you're finding the match, especially when she was really just describing it. I can definitely see some cool ads that she would be able to produce with this, just because it's a different perspective, right? And she shared it. It even goes back to what Jeff had talked about earlier, that, you know, when we sort of look about the after experience for kind of what we've all been going through for the last, you know, 9 to 12 months for 2020, a restaurant where you go in there and you actually get the experience of what people who have a challenge that you have no frame of reference from, that in just in the span of a meal, how much that can actually change your perspective on a whole class of people, right? That you never understood before. And I think a lot of, you know, either our apps or just some of these more unique kind of experience type events, whether it's restaurants where, you know, there's a lot of restaurants today that are struggling. Something tells me that a restaurant that was actually organized like this, that was providing this type of experience, that's easy to market, because that's actually different than going and getting a Big Mac, right? There's no story to that. However, you can really put an experience and a story to some of these things that we're talking about here, where a lot of businesses that have been having challenges, this is the pivot they probably need to make and be thinking about.
Interesting. Jim, you wanted to say something.
Well, no, I was just on the dating thing. What I would worry about is, do you end up getting more ugly people because they know they're not going to be seen? And maybe that's okay, because maybe after the people get to know them, then they see through the ugliness. Or maybe
beautiful all someone I will
thank
say.
You Polly.
But you know, a lot of dating apps, you know, they're only serving people who are super attractive or super photogenic, when really most of us are just normal, and I wouldn't say that anyone is ugly. And so really, you know, I think folks are just looking for their person. They're not necessarily looking for a 10, you know. So this isn't a dating app. You know, there are a ton of dating apps, and there's a reason that there are so many. You know, there's one for everyone, and we're not the app for somebody who's just looking for, you know, arm candy with no real connection. But we're the app for people who want to find a real partner, somebody that they can connect with and have conversations with, and where there's something more than just, you know, physical attraction. And scientifically, you know, psychologically, attraction builds as you develop deeper connections with people. And dating apps right now, they don't really serve that purpose. They don't really allow people to make those genuine kind of human connections with people. And so that's what we're really going for.
Yes, because what happens is people steal tens like Jeff, and they pretend.
Everybody's a 10 to somebody. That's the cool thing. And you got to find the right kinds of people. Because I mean, I look at some people and I, you know, just if you look on looks alone, let's be real blunt. You know, I'll see a gal who I think is just absolutely drop dead with this guy, and I'm going, what does he have? Right.
Right.
Well, there's something there. Now, maybe a lot of us would say, oh, it's probably money, but, you know, right off the bat. But no, but there's always the right 10 for everybody. And I think that's cool. Just like there's no such thing as an ugly baby. Really, truly.
I've seen some babies.
Yeah. So there's something for everybody on that side. You know, you talk, David, I love Jose, when you guys are talking about marketing right now for restaurants. You know, I have a podcast called All Business with Jeffrey Hazen on C-Suite Radio. And I interviewed the founder of Meatballs out of New York, which is a pretty big restaurant chain. And, you know, one of the things that was unique about what he said is that we have to always, you know, as I've always said, change, adapt, or die in terms of our businesses. We have to continue to do it. And with all the change that we're seeing right now, days have become weeks have become months have become years. I mean, you have to move, and you have to move fast and decisively. So a lot of restaurants, in terms of repositioning, one of the best things they can do is look for foods that have traveled well or will travel well. Because most of us, you know, I'm not going to go into that experience because of the social distancing and everything else. I might run into somebody in the dark or something along those lines, but it's a cool experience to have something like that. No doubt about it. And post COVID, I think it'll be great. But right now, focus on those things you can do right now to give you the volume or give you the things that you can do to meet the marketplace. And you also have to give some kudos to a lot of great restaurants out there, like, and food places. Like Popeyes jumped on it right away. I thought they just did a heck of a job showing people how they were doing it. Papa John's, Papa Murphy's, you know, some of Domino's now, you know, they're showing curbside pickup where you just drive up, they open your trunk, boom, they put it in, they're gone. You know, those are great marketing pieces that you're starting to see from companies.
And I think that a lot of the local restaurants, though, are the ones that are suffering the most because they don't have the marketing budgets to create things like that. So I've been seeing a lot of actual, you know, they're looks like they're taking it upon themselves to start running social media ads. So I've been seeing a lot of ads running through Instagram. But the thing that I've been seeing is that they're making a lot of mistakes. Mm-hmm. Right. So they're spending money on putting out these ads, but their ad talks about how great their lunch is, but then when you click on the ad, it goes to their Instagram profile. So I can't even go to their menu. So there's a lot of like simple mistakes that they're making where, you know, just going online, doing some research and kind of understanding how the platforms really work to utilize them to really create a lot of awareness, because who doesn't eat? Right. And then it's just a matter of like, well, maybe I just don't like Mexican food or I don't like Italian food, whatever. But if you're a restaurant, you should totally be out there right now covering the entire your little geo radius that you deliver in. And you could totally be getting tons of business. I did it for a pizza place that just opened up and they've been busy because we're just out in front of where everyone's spending their time. And that's scrolling.
David, thank you for that mistake. David, what is one of the main mistakes that you see when people are marketing?
I think in the biggest one that I see that people make is they send the ads or they send the marketing, but they really don't do anything to connect themselves and their business to that consumer. Right. And you know, it Jose made the perfect example, right? You click on the ad and it goes to their page, right? Their user ID, as opposed to a menu. Because if I were to go to a restaurant, I'm going to talk to a hostess, right? The hostess is probably going to seat me at a table. They're going to hand me the menu. They're going to ask me what kind of drinks I like. Realistically, there's nothing that would stop the experience that you can create through their app or through their site or past the ad. There's nothing that stops you from being able to create some of those same common experiences so that from a user's perspective, it feels like I'm going to the restaurant, right? Even if I'm doing it on my phone or even if I'm doing it digitally, I'm doing some of the same things that seem common, that seem normal, and it seems like what I've done before. A lot of times what we do in business is we kind of create these patterns that ultimately, and I deal with real estate agents a lot. Facebook is littered with them now. Real estate agents that basically create what I call the room stop video, right? They're going to sell a house. So what they do is they either take pictures of all the rooms and then they just kind of make it a picture collage, or they create a video of like 10 seconds in each room. Okay. For somebody that's actually watching that, that's almost like some kind of a weird teleport effect. Nobody goes through a house like that. But now you can take your phone, right, and just carry it along with you and talk to it every once in a while. That's just like a prospect. You can actually make a walkthrough of a house that you're going to show or sell, or a house like you show or sell, with the phone and create what amounts to a showing of a house completely virtual. But now that if you look on like Facebook or Instagram, that's what a lot of the agents aren't doing today. They're creating specific, you know, pieces that aren't the same experience as what you would get if you were doing it in real life.
Yes, it would look more just like an ad on Craigslist or something. Like, these are the rooms. I've seen rooms. This is what a room looked like. One of the, you know, when I speak to people, one of the first mistakes that I see, because they come to me and say, Sharifa, I'm not making any money on social media. You know, what do I need to do? And when I go to their social media, it's like literally rainbows and unicorns and cats. And I'm like, what does this have to do with your business? Like,
what's wrong with that?
Maybe they're selling rainbows and cats.
Yeah, maybe they're
not selling rainbows and cats.
Hey, come on. Don't dash people's dreams here.
No, this is a serious conversation, Jeff. If you were trying to sell suits. No.
Yeah, that's a different thing.
That's what I'm saying.
That's a big thing. I mean, both these gentlemen hit it right on the head. What most people do is they fail to capture the customer behavior. Mm-hmm. You know, like that restaurant that Jose is talking about. You know, I've got a restaurant here. It's one of my favorite restaurants, and I love to go to them. And someone's hacked their page months ago, and they've still
nothing's happened.
And it takes me forever to get through to call them on the thing and to order my thing. And I order from them once or twice a week because, you know, they're good. And two, I'd rather send the business to them. So, you should always look at it from the perspective of what the customer is going to go through. Pretend like you're the customer. Pick up the phone, click on the thing. Try to order the pizza. Try to order the sandwich. Just give it a shot and then try to do it from everywhere you think someone's going to order. And then you'll find out you suck and you need to fix this. And that's,
a book, Jeff. That sounds like a book, Jeff. You suck. You need to fix this.
Yeah, I had a show that we were going to do. It was called, Your Business Sucks. And it was, that's what we were going to do. There you go. That show later became The Prophet.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Jim, how do you do social media with appliances? What do you do? Can they connect to your menu and order?
Well, see, our problem is we sell to Home Depot and Costco and Lowe's, so we sell through a channel. So we're not connected directly to Danby, to our consumers that much. But what we do is we do send out articles of interest. You're connected to me on LinkedIn. You see, what is that? A lot of it's quotes from famous people. It's links to things that might be of interest. So what I always say in social media is 80 or 90% of it is to the value of the reader. 10% is to my value. So I, once every 10 LinkedIn updates, I say, you know, we have this new product, you know, buy your Danby wine cooler or something. But 9 out of 10 things I'm sending is for your benefit. And that's why you stay connected, because I'm not advertorializing every time you talk to me. So that's what I do on social media.
You have Danby wine coolers?
That's
all I got out of your whole conversation.
Of course. We're a refrigeration company. So we have wine coolers, freezers, fridges. And oddly enough, we also have window air conditioners and dehumidifiers. And you're going to say, well, why does an appliance company have those? Well, because they have compressors. So we sell 2 million appliances with 2 million compressors. We're a compressor. We make products out of compressors. But for the average person, I just say appliances.
I would actually say, Jim, the consumers would be extremely interested in what you guys do right now, specifically for the early part of our conversation, where with what you guys are involved with from the supply chain, specifically with COVID today. There's a number of people that are going to be interested in Danby and any type of association that you guys can be talking about, that of what importance you guys have to that supply chain that's getting some of those vaccines available to people. That's going to be because here's the deal. The one thing that's cool about Google, right, the questions that people ask Google, it gives them the best answer that's related to them. So it's a big topic today is talking about COVID and asking questions about it, how your company is actually providing value into that supply chain is definitely something to talk about. It's going to attract a lot of attention. And if what that does is it sells more, 16 more of those freezers at Home Depot, because they see the tag on the end of it, that's a positive.
You're exactly right. So we got a lot of press when Danby introduced a minus 80 freezer, but that cost us to sell other refrigerators, which weren't even minus 80 freezers. I also believe one of the roles of social media is to amplify the press. So if we get an article in USA Today, then we send it out on our social media, and that sort of amplifies the press. There's been a freezer shortage, you know, because everybody's hoarding food, and people don't understand how long it takes from the time you decide you're going to make a freezer to the time it actually you get it. It's like 4 or 5 months. These things can't turn up instantly. You can't buy the parts fast enough. So there's a freezer shortage in North America, and we read the articles on it, then we share them, and then people say, oh, I better get my order in for my freezer now, 60 days before I need it, because you're not going to go down to Home Depot and pick one up because they don't have any right now.
Yes. Jose, I wanted your thoughts on what David had to say about the COVID in the appliances, the freezers.
Yeah, so I actually agree 100% with what he was saying. Leveraging press is a great way to, you know, build your brand. Because it builds trust with the community, right? And the consumer. So the consumers see this, they're like, who's that company? Like, oh, you know what? I'm actually in the market for a new, you know, fridge or whatever.
Wine cooler. That
Stansberry can come time. Yeah, top of mind. Wine coolers and everything. I actually have a wine tasting tonight, so I'm actually excited about that.
Uh-huh, cool.
Virtual wine tasting. So that's even more interesting.
What is a virtual wine tasting? You buy your own wine and then you bring your wine? I thought the point of a wine tasting was to test samples of other people's wines.
So I guess I'll tell you real quick how this virtual wine tastings work. This one's working. So I'm part of a nonprofit called the MIT Enterprise Forum, and our final event of the year is normally a get together, right? Where we would meet at a restaurant and have like a networking event for everybody. Well, obviously this year we couldn't do that. So we partnered up with a wine company that has like overstock wine. Mm-hmm. And we have three wines. People place their orders on our website. We send them the wines. So you get three bottles of wine. And then tonight we're going to have an actual, I don't know what the actual proper term is of the wine connoisseur person. But we're going to actually have, yes, we're going to have them go ahead and explain each wine, and we're going to go through and taste it. And they sent us a little card where we get to mark off, you know, what we liked about it. So it's very interesting. I've never done it like that before.
Jose, we do these every single week on the C-Suite Network. We have a different wine, and we have usually two. We have one East Coast tasting and a West Coast tasting. We typically have about 30 C-Suite executives on each one, maybe up to 40. And we do these every week, and the winemaker sits down with it. We have the CEO or the winemaker both on the call, which is always nice. And then they kind of take us through the wine, and we introduce everybody in the squares, and they go on for hours. And usually the folks from the first wine tasting end up waiting and going to the second.
Hanging around for the next one.
And after about three bottles of wine between two people, it's a really fun night.
When's the next one?
It's the next one. We don't have another one until January, and we're doing ports. We're going to do port wines from Jessup Cellars, but we had Sabina the other day. We've had Ackerman. We have some really great wineries. We had a Long Island, New York wine, Pominock. We've had them. They're one of the favorite ones. And a lot of fun. And then, of course, everybody orders, you know, and joins the night wines. We join the night wines. They have a new wine called Curfew, which is kind of cool because it's the after night, you know. And they're actually coming up with a new wine called One Night Stand. I think that's a pretty cool brand name too. Yeah. Yeah.
I would get the One Night Stand, not just because that's more interesting, but curfew in California right now
is not a good thing. Yeah.
Not a good thing. We are so upset with this curfew. We have to be in by 10 p.m. So curfew wouldn't work for me, but I think it would be a good fit with Tali, right? So since we're not concerned about looks, we should have some wine, I think.
Yeah. I mean, going on a date now, all you have to do is get your bottle of wine, sit on your couch in your sweats, and you have your date. You don't have to really do much.
Yes, that's all you can do. All you can do. We were talking about marketing, Tali, and getting your message out there. What are some strategies that you use to stand? Because dating is everybody, everywhere. Everybody's like the new dating app, the new place to go, the new way we're dating. So how do you get above the noise?
Yeah, it's actually really hard, particularly because in the dating space, there are regulations around it because of the potential for unsavory things. And, you know, the big channels like Facebook, Instagram, they have restrictions around advertising. And so we actually haven't been able to do paid advertising on some channels quite yet because the app is not launching until later this year, which I guess is not that long from now. So we'll be in test flight in a couple weeks. So we haven't been able to do paid advertising. And so we've been getting really creative, trying to just kind of have organic growth. We're working on some virtual events, you know, through meetups and Facebook groups, trying to create content across various platforms. So again, trying to get creative, thinking about ways to use TikTok and, you know, just really trying to connect with people in untraditional ways. Because, you know, we can't just go and hand out flyers at a park and, you know, we could put signs outside coffee shops, but who's really going these days? And so really just trying to think about what can we do when we don't have traditional marketing avenues open to us. But I'm definitely, Jose and David, you might be hearing from me after this. I'd love to hear your thoughts. But it's been a learning experience for me too, because I've never done marketing like this before.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So one of the things that I think that will really help, that I always love, is just what Jose was saying earlier. And I think everyone is the story, you know, the story behind it. And because yours is so unique as a company, you know, the idea of getting past or beyond the looks and focus more on the person within. And I would just try to find a lot more examples and stories or maybe testimonials where people were able to meet and connect in ways that were not looks based.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so once we launch our MVP, we're going to have our beta group and we're going to really try to leverage their stories. But with the dating app, you know, it's a two-sided marketplace and you need, a volume of users to really create those matches and connections. And so it's a unique challenge to build that kind of core, that first starting kind of user base and then growing from there, because that's the hardest part, getting the initial set of users. And so hopefully that once we have that, we'll have
a story. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but it could be a struggle because so often you may be able to get the men and not the women or vice versa. And then exactly. They don't have anyone on the platform. So you have to have a balance.
Yep. So that's the challenge we're facing now. But I'm really, what I'm looking forward to and the kind of signal of success I'm looking forward to is the first story of someone meeting on the app and being able to kind of go offline and have a relationship. So that's what that's the dream I'm working towards today, the small step to the larger goal. And we'll see how it goes.
So I'm gonna help you out. I'm gonna help you out, Tali. I'm gonna help you. I'm gonna take one for the team. This is what I need you to do. Go find all the available good bachelors within a 15-minute radius of Long Beach, California, and then I'll jump in there and I'll see what I can find. Okay.
Yeah.
Were you with me?
Yes, I'm with you.
Okay, but they have to. But I gotta be clear. Long Beach, California, 15-mile radius.
We do have a radius selector, so you will be able to select folks near you. That is another, that's definitely a requirement.
You gotta be more picky than that, though. You gotta put in, are they employed, right?
I was gonna add some more stuff.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Just want to make sure we're just don't anyone that's walking or
breathing.
Driving.
Jeff, I'm going to challenge you for a second, because somebody who might've been employed, 8 months ago might've lost their job, and that doesn't mean that they're not a good match for you. So just because they're not employed.
But I also know. Yeah. Well, but let's be clear. We got to raise the bar here.
Yes. Go, Jeff.
If they don't have 6-7 figures behind that name on a salary or net worth, she's not interested. I'm repping her right now.
Yes, he is.
I just want to make sure. In fact, just send the names to me. Let me look them up first.
There you go.
Yes,
you can help.
Yes, that's gonna be a new show, Jeff. We're gonna do a new kind of.
That's right.
A new show, job, Jeff.
Yeah, yes. it's like from the Seinfelds. There's only so many dates, so many sponges, so many whatever. It's got to, we want to make sure they're worthy, right?
Yes, I agree. And wholeheartedly, and I always talk about this with my friends. Anyway, I have this kind of idea, right? Three things. A person needs to either have, a job, a car, or a house. Like, maybe you go through hard times and you don't have one out of three, right? One. And you haven't had it temporarily, but you got to have a job, a car, and a house before anything else. So I'm with you.
I live in LA now, but I used to live in New York, and the concept of owning a car, that's ridiculous in and of itself.
We're in LA. Home in New York. We don't walk.
All right. So Tal, we'll make it fit. You got to have an Uber account.
Yes. Thank
you.
Uber Pass.
If you got a Black American,
4-star rating, boom, right?
You got way up there. You went right to the top of the list. So there's lots of factors we can put on there. Shower. Showering's important.
That's we don't do this, Jeff. We gonna talk seriously, Jeff. You and I, because I have to expand, and I'm looking to get married, settle down, and have someone contain all this crazy. Sorry, David.
Absolutely. You're actually talking to somebody really good with Jeff. He's been married for 40 years, right?
I've been married for 40 years.
Here's the deal, right? Somebody who has what you want, talk to them and do what they do so you'll get what they have, right? I think there was a guy that wrote a bunch of books that started to talk about that. But
Well, David, if you use me as the barometer, see, I know me, I wouldn't be married to me.
Exactly.
Okay, but then I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to the missus. Can I talk to her?
Oh, absolutely. She says our 40 years has been the best 11 non-consecutive years of her life. I can tell you that right now. So there it is.
Interestingly, you tell that story, Jeff. I have a friend. It's not me, but it is a friend. His wife, they had their 40th anniversary or something like that. So, that he threw this big extravagant party, with happy, happy 40th birthday, happy 40th anniversary, greatest 40 years of our life. And she's in the party with all the friends, and she says, yeah, but you know, you messed it up. It was, you know, 39, not 40, in front of everybody. Now, to know the couple, she's extremely quiet and reserved, and he's somewhat gregarious like me. So, you know, it's really only 39. And she says, hun, we've been married for 40. Maybe you forgot. And her joke was, well, yeah, we were, but the first one wasn't that good. And basically just dropped that on the entire crowd.
I love it. I love it. I love it. We are coming down to the last 6 minutes of the show. We have 6 minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching the show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Jim.
Well, the obvious takeaway is you need to go buy a Danby wine cooler. I think we've got that because we're talking about Danby, and or you can buy a fridge or a freezer. And other than that, you have to listen to Ask Sharifa every time it comes on.
Thank you, Jim.
I'll pass it back.
Thank you, Jim. Need that wine cooler for my date. Tali, what do you have for us?
I would say, you know, dating apps aren't for everyone, but I think the concept of getting to know someone and not really letting their looks influence your opinion of them, that's something that I would really hope that folks take away. You know, try to get past your biases and your assumptions and really make connections with people and get to know them for who they are. And, you know, just to echo Jim, definitely watch Ask Sharifa.
Oh, that's so wonderful. Thank you. What a wonderful show. Jose, what do you have for us?
Just to all the listeners and viewers out there that are business owners, to really embrace digital marketing, as it's really not going anywhere. And it's, you know, get in front of people where they are, where they're spending their time. And if you're looking to learn more about Facebook or Instagram advertising, I do have a free webinar that you're able to watch. If you go to josevictorcastellanos.com, so just my name.com. There's a link there for resources, and there'll be a link there for the webinar. So that'll be in there, as well as some other free resources that you can check out. So I'm always happy to help out, as well as on my YouTube channel, there's tons of videos on how to do different digital marketing things.
So when they go to Jose Victor Castellanos, is there a picture of Sharifa?
No. But I haven't created a page just for you, though. You'll be on that page.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering. I was just asking, you know what I mean? I didn't want to push or pry, you know, but I'm.
Don't worry. When I create a page with, you know, / Sharifa, it's going to have your face on it. I'm not going to do what David did. I'm going to make sure it has your picture on there.
Thank you, Jose. Don't be a David. David, talk to us.
Listen, it was great, Sharifa, to be on the show today. I want to thank all the viewers that are going to be checking this out and the time that we got to spend. And also, I want to thank the other five guests here, or four guests and yourself. This has been a great experience. And like I said, I kind of feel like I've found five new friends. And realistically, all of these types of experiences, that's what it is, right? It is being able to make these connections with folks. If folks, you know, that are in the real estate space or you know, attorneys or whatnot, mortgage brokers, whatnot, definitely seriousdigital.com. Come check me out. Happy to work with you guys, answer questions. I do it on a number of different Facebook groups and stuff like that. But I'm definitely looking forward to the opportunity to jump back on with you guys again. Jim, Jeff, Tali, Jose, it was great. And Sharifa, thank you.
You are welcome. And that page again for those resources?
seriousdigital.com/Sharif.
That's right. Make it happen.
And we're going to get a picture put on there too.
I'm going to check. I'm going to go back and check. Now I have to go allow my new agent, my new negotiator, to have a final takeaway. Jeff.
Hey, thank you so much. And it's been a pleasure being with everybody today. And I thank you very much. It's always a great chance to get together and just share. You know, the biggest thing that most of us can do right now is get together and share, learn, cheer. You know, as we come together, I invite anyone that wants to join us. Every Friday night, we get together with a little great event in the C-Suite Network. We hold hundreds of events online, as well as our content on C-Suite Radio, C-Suite TV. But if you'd like to come and join us for our celebration on Friday, we're actually going to be doing a holiday party. We'd love to have you. It's at 4 p.m. Eastern time. All you got to do is email me and I'll send you a free link and you get together with hundreds and hundreds of other C-suite executives who come together, you know, because it used to be every Friday, Sharifa, you know this. On Fridays, we used to like join, all of us would meet, like at the end of the day, we'd meet a local pub on the way home, kind of give everybody a high five or maybe a pat in the back or maybe even a hug if you needed it because it didn't go, you had a crappy week or whatever. Well, you can't do that right now. So we're doing that online and we're getting together on a regular basis. Plus, come and join us by just emailing me. I'll make sure you get on all the links for events or go to the csuitenetwork.com and then look for events. I've got the CEO of Hint coming up. I just had Seth Godin. I've had Stedman Graham on here a couple of weeks ago. I had the CEO Ben and Jerry's, the CEO of Crunch Fitness, the former Secretary of the Department of Commerce. So we have a lot of great guests who come and you're welcome and come and watch and listen. I'll be doing one of those today. I can't even remember who the heck I'm doing the today. I'm doing this one of the executives at Google and YouTube, the head of YouTube today. So we'll have a great guest on the show today and part of our digital discussion. What we do is just like this. We do our group chat with everybody. So we have hundreds of people who join us or thousands of people that join us. And then I film the show and we use that as a podcast and a TV show that we put out. So very similar. So you're on target with that. But it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. I'll be sending that email, making that phone call immediately after the show. But I just want to thank you all for being a guest on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the live show does not mean you're not important. We still need your help. We still need your support. Please go ahead and share the show. But please don't just watch the show. Don't just share the show. Please support our guests. Our guests are here with you this morning to provide you all the information, guidance, resources, and strategies that you need, not only for your life and your business. So please support them. Their websites are in the Facebook post. Please follow them on social media, reach out to them, send them an email. And when you connect, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to pick up your tickets to my New Year, New You 2-day teleconference on December 29th and 30th, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning at the same time, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Struggling to increase your sales or website conversions? Are you looking for new ways to promote your business through social media or any other campaign? If yes, then you're at the right place. Ask Sharifa has 25 years of experience and the track record to guide you to success. From business planning to social media marketing, from website designing to website development, from search engine optimization to paid traffic, we will research your business, your products and/or services, and the competition to develop a custom growth strategy for your business. Contact us now, and we will help you bring your business growth to the next level. For more information, visit www.asksharifa.com.